time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Good day, everybody. Glad to have you here with me. It's another Wednesday, another Pastor Adam's podcast, devotional, whatever you want to call it. A lot of stuff going on at the Briel household. In the Briel household the last couple weeks, but today I'm getting the new HVAC units put in, so going to have some reliable cold AC this summer, which is good. It's never good to be like, are we going to be hot, sweating to death tonight, or was it going to be cool? Like, a lot of things, so big expense, but it's done, right? Then over the past month, I've been having some issues with my car, with the Mustang that I love. Some transmission issues, some rattling issues, some stuff going on, right? And putting it all out there, my wife hated the Mustang. Like, verbalized it many times that she hated it. The best feature, I thought, was that it was a convertible. Top came down, and I mean, I loved that about it. I just would love taking cruises, just even driving long distances to Columbia, to Myrtle Beach. The top down was so nice. I loved it, right? But that best feature, my wife wouldn't even get in the car. Like, she loathed it. Top down, she's not interested because her hair gets messed up. I'm like, where? She's not. It's just not for her. And if I'm being real honest, at times it was a bit of a hassle because I'd have to use her car to move anything because I had no space in my Mustang. And if I was going to play my Firebirds, which I love guitars, I'd have to put it in the passenger seat because it wouldn't fit in the trunk or the back seat. So okay. You know, that was the whole convertible high horsepower that made up for the lack of space, whatever. But with issues that I could see on the horizon, some problems coming, no warranty, because apparently they said I had a lifetime warranty, which I don't, by the way. I just, you know, I needed to start looking for something else. So, I decided I was going to get something else. I found what I liked, what I wanted, narrowed it down to, you know, once I found that, I had to narrow it down to price, miles, features, and all that. And I found this vehicle that I wanted, checked all the boxes, great price under everybody else, right? And it was in Savannah, Georgia. So, Memorial Day, I call there in the morning. Do you still have this car? Yep, we got it. Still this price? Yes, still is. All right, I'm like, cool. I have trade-in price from CarMax for X amount. I need you to know if you can match that. And she was like, we can match it or exceed it. We'll give you more for it. You just got to come in. And I'm like, but I'm not coming in there. And then you're going to tell me you're not going to give me as much. It's gonna, because I'm not driving all the way to Savannah. Nope, I promise you. I got the promise, right? Get it done. All right. And then guess what? I also have financing that I procured myself outside of this. So in the event that I need to use that, we can, just so we can make this deal work out. So everything is good. We just got to make the numbers work when we get there. So load up my car with Lola, Lauren. We head to Savannah, Georgia. We get there after 2.5 hours because we had stopped to eat and all that. Guess what? I said, hey, I'm here to see so-and-so for this car. And they said, oh, that's sold. So, okay, well, what other car do you have? Do you have, like, it's the same dealership. Do you have other ones similar? No. We have new ones, though. You want a new? No, I don't want a new one. And there's no apologies. There's no, I mean, that was just so rude. And I know how long it takes to buy a car because I just bought one yesterday. It takes 5 hours at a minimum to get all the paperwork. It's a long time. So don't tell me that it sold an hour before I got there when it took me 2.5 hours. There's no way. There's no way. They straight up lied to my face. And it's frustrating and it's hurt. And there's a saying around here that I found that I really like. And it says, I really showed my behind to somebody, right? But guess what? We didn't. We were like, I can't believe this. This is so rude. But We didn't yell at them. We didn't make a scene, even though we wanted to. We left. Right? And it's frustrating, but this is actually not the first time I've been, you know, abused by a car dealership or a salesman or someone like that. So I'm going to go ahead and say the first big hurt from the car dealership was my fault because I was in real estate. I wanted something nice. My aunt said, you need to get a nice car that, you know, people see like you're doing well, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I went to a BMW dealership and I went in there and I wanted to get, you know, something cool, a BMW, right? A new one. And so I decided I wanted a lease and everybody was so, like I was young, I was 21 and they're just like, they just brushed me off. They didn't even give me the time of day. And I was like, I can't even believe this. But then one person, probably some new salesperson, I don't know, but they're like, oh, let me help you. And I leased a car that I definitely couldn't afford just to spite all the other salespeople who just brushed me off. Like, oh, you're gonna brush me off? Like, I'm gonna get it. So I ended up back when I was 21 having a $525 car payment. That's crazy. That's my fault. I know. Stupid. That was the worst decision, right? Ended up, you know, I kept that car till the lease was up, went over on miles. It was a whole deal. But that was my fault. First big, you know, dealership car buying hurt. The second time, not my fault, I don't think. I bought a Chevy Volt, which is the hybrid electric and gas powered car. And a couple things with that one. That was a really cool car. I liked it. It got, you know, 70 miles per gallon and I traveled through 6 states, was my territory. So I was like, there was no problems. One time I had to replace the center console thing because my computer thing went out, but $600, which is still a lot, but that was the only big spend that I had, whatever there. And then when I went to trade it in because it got a lot of miles on it, they didn't even want to take the car. Like, they're like, no, we don't want it. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't want to trade? It's crazy, right? And then after a while, they're like, we'll give you $4,000 for it. And this was an expensive, like, what? Why would you not take it? And there's a couple reasons why. Number one, because the cost to replace the batteries, they said, you know, in that car was more than the car was worth, which is crazy. No one told me that electric cars depreciated more than anything on earth. Even today, if you buy a new Tesla in 2 years, it's at least half the price, maybe more. They depreciate like crazy because of those batteries and replacement and all that stuff. And then the second thing that I found about it is it had a salvage title that they never told me about. And I went through all my paperwork and I could say at that point, I did show my behind at that place, right? That was years ago. But I had to threaten them to, you know, I got one, a friend to write a letter, like as an attorney to them. And then I threatened to go on the radio because I had friends at the local radio station where that dealership was, who did a lot of advertising, by the way. And I said, I will go on there and trash this dealership. I'll tell my story, all this stuff. So they eventually caved. And then they got me into this Jeep Cherokee that I eventually had, and that had major, major issues eventually, you know, transmission and lifters hit, lots of stuff, catastrophic stuff that I had to get rid of that car to get into the Mustang. But it made me never want to have a Jeep Chrysler dealership, Jeep Chrysler car, because, you know, issues, even though they have cool looking cars, I will say that. So today's devotional, when we get to it right now, I'm going to call it either, I don't know, like when the deal goes sour, or like trusting God after being ripped off, right? And I did get some scriptures that kind of relate to this, right? Romans 12:19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Proverbs 16:8, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. So I put together these points that we have to, when we're in the midst of realizing we've been ripped off or hurt or abused or whatever like that in our, and like, if you look into any big sales, a house sale, a car, you know, like buying a car, buying a house, buying HVAC, any kind of thing that it's like you're dealing with something that you don't have all, like you just feel like you've been ripped off, right? By the way, the HVAC system that I'm getting today was not ripped off. Great deal. Friend helped me out. Loved it. Here we go. Number one, take the pain to God, not just the problem. We often, when we're going through something, we bring our problems to God, but not our hurt, not our pain. You know, we may pray, fix this situation, but forget to say, you know, like, heal my heart from this. Being taken advantage of, you know, it doesn't just bring a financial loss. It brings emotional damage, right? There's a sense of betrayal, especially if you really trusted that person who kind of used their charm to manipulate you. In Psalm 62:8, David writes, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." You don't have to pretend with God. Tell him, you know, like, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm hurt by this. Say you're confused, or like, maybe even that you're ashamed that this happened to you, right? Pour it all out, because it's not weakness. It's worship when we can surrender our burdens to the one strong enough to carry them. Second point, God sees injustice. And in moments like this, you can feel like dishonest people are prospering when you're, you know, trying to pick up the pieces. You might even wonder, like, does God care? Like, what is going on that God would let this happen? But yes, he sees it and he cares. Over and over, the Bible shows us that God is a defender of the wrong. In Psalm 10:1, David declares, "But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand." Whether that person who wronged you ever faces, you know, earthly consequences, God promises that no injustice goes unnoticed. Also, you should keep that in mind when you do something that is a little shady to somebody else, right? It's not just a one-way street. But when we're, you know, when injustice happens to us, that doesn't mean we have to sit back and, you know, take it passively. We should pursue like action, whether it's like legally or, you know, I don't know. We can't just be a doormat. And, you know, depending on your issue, you could go the legal route or whatever. But we should do so knowing that God ultimately handles the judgment. And here's a possible, you know, practical step you could take. Commit that person who wronged you or the situation that you're in to prayer, right? Name that person. Say it aloud. I release this person to God's justice. It's a good idea. I don't know. I've never done that, but maybe I should. I'm definitely going to start doing that, right? Number three, guard your heart from bitterness. This is a big one. Bitterness is a slow, corrosive poison. And it can start with something like with a justifiable sense of anger, but eventually that turns into this cynicism and distrust of everybody. And I've been there for sure. I mean, just in the past few weeks with some of the HVAC guys and the car salesmen that I've talked to, you begin to say things like, you can't trust anybody. No one is on. There's no honest salesperson out here, or everyone out here is just trying to rip me off. But that mindset contradicts the hope that we have in Christ. Hebrews 12:15 warns, "See that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Yes, the dealership, the other salesman, whatever you may go through, they may have acted dishonestly, but don't let their lack of integrity become your burden. Now, understand, sometimes it will become your burden in terms of like, if you make a bad deal and you have to pay extra for X amount of time, that's your burden. But don't let that become your spiritual burden. You don't need to repay. You don't have to like sit there. Here's what I'm talking about. You don't have to be laying in bed, replaying that conversation 50 times with them in your head, which I've done many times, you know, hoping to rewrite the ending because it's done. It's been there, but you're holding on to this anger and frustration and bitterness, right? So instead, try to hold fast to righteousness. As Proverbs 16:8 says, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. And here's something that I read that you should do when you start feeling like that, you know, when this bitterness starts bubbling up in you. Each time bitterness tries to take root, say aloud, this will not define me. God will vindicate me. I read that this morning and I like it. I can't say I've done that, so I'm not going to act like I'm this guy who does that, but I'm going to from now on for sure. I'm going to, well, hopefully if I remember and I'm not overtaken by this frustration and anger, I'm going to just say, this will not define me. God will vindicate me. Number four, learn the lesson, but don't lose your faith. We know that sometimes God allows us to walk through difficulties and problems, not to punish us, but to teach us discernment. Painful lessons can become powerful tools of growth. So maybe you trusted too quickly. Maybe you didn't read the fine print in something. Maybe you wanted that car too much or whatever, that you made a poor decision. God can use these moments to teach wisdom without shaming you, even though we may shame ourselves from all these instances and we're like, man, I'm such an idiot, you know, whatever. But James 1:5 offers hope. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, God isn't sitting there shaking his head at you every time you make a mistake. Sometimes I feel like he has some things that I've gone through, but some dumb mistakes that I've made. Like, this is a slight turn rabbit trail we're going off, but one time I was on a mission trip and a tornado went through and we were cleaning up after that, and I was given a chainsaw to cut all these fallen trees so then they could move it away, right? So everything was going perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden it just stopped working. And I couldn't figure it out. And the guy who was kind of like, who gave us all the equipment, he was like the construction guy on site. He wasn't the most friendly guy. I didn't want to keep going to him asking him questions because he seemed to have zero patience. So I'm like, I'm going to figure this out. So I ended up taking the whole chainsaw apart, putting it back together, trying to find what was stopping it, and it still wouldn't work, right? It was a feat in itself that I was able to take it apart and put it back together. That's not me. Who is that? I don't know, but I was like a genius in that hour trying to do that without bothering him. So eventually I just had to go to him and be like, look. And so I said, I did this. It stopped. Then I took it apart. I put it together and here we are. And he was looking at me like I was the dumbest person on earth. And he pressed a button. Apparently I had accidentally clicked the safety on it or whatever and it stopped it. And I was like, man, you think I'm an idiot, don't you? And he just was like, walked away. Clearly he did. And at that point, that mistake, I feel like God was embarrassed for me too. He looked down and he was like, man, come on, dude. I know. So, but I've heard God's not there just doing, shaking his head at your mistakes. But what we have to do, what he's doing is he's inviting you to grow through it. You know, just don't allow financial mistakes or whatever to become a spiritual detour. Keep showing up in faith. Keep trusting God's character, even when you fail. And even when people fail you, ask God, what do you want me to learn from this? Maybe when you come with that answer, maybe you write it down. Keep that lesson for the future when you're about to do the same thing and you look back and you go, ah, yeah, I'm not going to do that again. Let this be, you know, like, let this be a lesson, a stepping stone not a stumbling block in your faith. Now, lastly, last point, reflect Christ even in conflict. Our world teaches us when we're wronged, we should, clap back, leave scathing reviews, escalate it until we win, you know, that type of thing. But Christ calls us to live differently. We can seek justice and maintain Christ-like character. Truth without grace becomes cruelty, and grace without truth becomes compromise. And Jesus modeled both. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." So if you're pursuing, legal or consumer protection problem, like whatever, do it with clarity and humility. Don't return dishonesty with more dishonesty. You represent Christ as a Christian, even in, small claims court. So before writing a complaint or an email, like a scathing review, or leaving or calling them to yell at whatever, pray to yourself, God, help me reflect your character in every word. I say your heart may not feel like doing it. Your heart may be hardened at that point, but just know that that's the biblical thing to do, is to stop, pray, hey, help me not make a fool of myself and start yelling and being crazy, right? Now, all of this comes with this disclaimer. I can't say that I'm the model for all this devotional podcast thing. I can't say I've handled things the best way ever. I can't say I've followed all of these points that I came up with. But I've said before that this devotional, this teaching that I do on Wednesdays, it's just as much for me as it is for you. So I'm not here saying I do all these things and you should do it too. No, I'm still trying to figure it out too, and I have temper issues, and I have frustrations, and I have a lot of things going on that I don't necessarily always live up to what I want to do. So just putting that out there. That's my disclaimer. But hopefully we don't have to go through these kind of big issues and scams and all that. So yeah, that's what I had for you today. Hopefully you could relate in some ways. And also another disclaimer, I'm not saying all HVAC and car salesmen are terrible. I've met some great ones, but I've met a lot of terrible ones too. So I would just say, keep your eye on them. That's all I'm saying, right? You have a good one. See you next time.